Happy Mother's Day. I hope when I tell you the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, moms, that you don't want to punch me in the face. For those of you that are familiar with Scripture, we're going to go in Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. So I'll be making a quick exit on this Mother's Day. Proverbs chapter 31. As you're finding that passage in your Bible or Bible app, Mom, I want you to imagine for a moment that it's Mother's Day 15 to 20 years from now. Your kids are all grown up. They've returned home for Mother's Day to celebrate and honor you. They're sitting around your dinner table and the conversation begins and their whole purpose is just to affirm you and encourage you as mom. And they begin to say things like, Mom, you're the best. We're so blessed by God that you're our mom. You made being a mom look so rewarding and like such a blessing from the Lord. And Mom, because of you, we have so much respect for you, but because of you, we have so much respect for what it takes to be a mom. And as you sit there, the tears start to come down your face, right? And you just kind of sit there like, wow, thank you. Wouldn't that be something, moms? Would you love to hear that one day? Can you imagine hearing that one day? Wouldn't that be something that you'd love to hear? How do you get there? How do you get to that destination, if you will? I think, let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse 28. Proverbs 31, 28 says this, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So in a similar way, it's as if this mom's kids are all grown up and they look at their mom and they're telling their mom the same things you just imagined your kids telling you. So how do you get there, right? So I think God gives us a roadmap here in Proverbs 31. Because I think in Proverbs 31, God in his wisdom gives some character traits for becoming a godly, wise mom. Now, before we look into what are those characteristics for becoming a godly, wise mom, a couple things to note. First, look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 31. Proverbs 31, and you need to know this, moms, is actually God's wisdom through the voice of a mom. Through the voice of a mom talking with her son, talking with her child. Proverbs 31, verse 1 and 2 says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him, and then it's as if she's saying this to him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? I think he's in trouble. Right? Like, if you ever, like, growing up, if my mom ever said my middle name, I was over. Right? It's like, this mom's like, what are you doing, son of my womb? Kids, if your mom ever gets to that point, you know you've done something horrific. If your mom's ever, son of my womb, get over here, right? I mean, that's serious, all right? But this is a mom. It's like she's sitting at Starbucks with her son, and the first 8 or 9 verses, she's kind of laying out for him the characteristics of a godly young man. But verses 10 through the end of the chapter, she's really kind of describing for him the kind of character traits that he should be looking for in a girl and a wife and a future mom for his kids. It's kind of what she's laying out for him here in Proverbs chapter 31. And I love that. I love that about God, that God in his wisdom, right, to communicate wisdom for moms is speaking his wisdom through a mom. This is God's wisdom, but it's through a mom's having a conversation with her son. I love that about God, that he would do that here in Proverbs 31. Now, let me say something else before we jump in here. These characteristics. I want to say a word to the single fellas. This is not a time for you to check out. Say, great. A message for moms. What does this have to apply to me? Everything. Because you need to see Proverbs 31 as a prayer list for what to pray for and look for in a young lady. That's what you need to be looking for in Proverbs 31 is a prayer list. All right, for what to pray for, look for. Single ladies, So you're not a mom. Maybe you desire to be a mom one day. How do you take Proverbs 31? I think similarly, you see it as a prayer list to ask God to develop these character qualities in you by his spirit, right? By his spirit. Dads, how do you see Proverbs 31? You need to see this as a prayer list on what you should be praying for the mom of your kids. But you also need to see this as a praise list, all right? Because if we go down, we look at verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So if the mom of your kids is living out these characters, you should be telling her these things. You should be praising her for these things. And then mamas, this obviously is primarily for you this morning. It's a prayer list and it's a roadmap for becoming a godly, wise mom by God's spirit. So let's dig in. Verse 10, 11, and 12. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Let's stop there. I think the first character trait that we see for a woman to become a godly, wise mom is this: a godly, wise mom, if she's married, cares about having her husband's heart, trust, and respect. The character quality for becoming a godly, wise mom is that she's caring about having her husband's heart, trust, and respect. Go down to verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 29, this is her husband speaking. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And then verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, the gates of a city were kind of like where the decisions were made for the town in which people lived. So imagine the gates being like the business district or the government district. So imagine like the gates are like city hall. All right, so somehow her husband or the dad here is working down at city hall in the government district or the business district. That's what he does, but he's there. And if you say this, like, let her works praise her in the gates. Well, what's he doing? She's not in the gates. Who's in the gates? Her husband. Her husband is going to work, and let me talk to you about my wife. I got to tell you guys about my wife. And it's not bad. Like, everybody else at work's talking about negative about their wife, but I got to tell you about my wife. She's amazing. She's incredible. Why? Why is he praising her in the gates? I think because she understands that becoming a godly, wise mom begins with caring and about having the heart, the trust, and the respect of her husband. I really find it interesting that the mom, and what she starts with in talking to her son about character traits, starts with marriage. Starts with her relationship with her husband. So, mom, if you're married here, does your husband trust you? Do you have his heart? Do you honor him with how you talk about him when he's not around? Does he know that you have his best interest in mind? And when's the last time you told him you loved him and made his heart your priority? Listen, mom, one of the best things that you can do for your kids is invest time into your relationship with your husband. Building and having his heart and his trust and respect. No one's saying that that's easy, but it's here in Scripture. No one's saying that's easy, but it does seem to be something that God considers very wise. Very wise. You know, Andrea and I on occasion, and we've gotten back into the rhythm of this, is having date night. All right, and we make that a priority, and we got away from it for a while. We've kind of picked that back up again recently, and really I put that in my calendar as a, you know, Tuesday nights, every other Tuesday night's date night. And really it's on me to kind of plan that and do that. But I want to say this, mom, make sure you're not like double booking on date night. Make sure that that's a priority to you too. That spending time with your husband is important to you. And that as you're spending time with him, you're hearing his heart. All right, Father's Day, we'll get to the dads. So moms, just you can relax. We're going to get to them too, okay? So, but for now, I'm addressing you guys, right? In the sense of like, just make that a priority. And I know a lot of moms, right, we listen to podcasts about mothering and reading books on motherhood, and all of that is good and great. But I would encourage you to also start listening to podcasts or any books about your marriage, about how to develop that godliness in, as far as your marriage is concerned. So mom, invest in your relationship with your husband, building his trust. And fellas, if you've got a wife, like, praise her. Second, this part is probably where you're going to want to punch. All right, verses 13 through 27. And as I read this, I want you to just look at all the action verbs, okay? All the action verbs. 13 through 27. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to her hands, reaches her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. And it sounds like to me, maybe she had a business running out of her home. Who knows? Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come, which I think means she's not worried or too concerned about the future. The future doesn't scare her. And then go down to verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Anybody feeling overwhelmed by all that? Sheesh, right? But I think the point is here, like the character trait really is this, that a godly wise mom is diligent and disciplined in caring for her family and home. This is not a mom who's scrolling Facebook or Instagram 8 hours a day. This is a mom who's focused, who understands that God is the one who has blessed her with the family that she has. And she takes that as a responsibility. And she not only takes it as a responsibility, she sees it as rewarding. As rewarding. Now, hear me. This is not a statement on if a mom should stay at home or a mom should work full time or anything like that. That's not the point. The point that God is making here in his wisdom is that God sees moms caring for their families as rewarding. And he sees it as worthy of praise. And he sees it as wise. And that's the statement. And so, mom, what are the distractions maybe that you need to start saying no to so that you can give a little more attention potentially to caring for your family and your home? Let's keep going. Another godly wise trait we find in verse 20 and verse 26. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her needs to the needy. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. A godly, wise mom teaches. She teaches. Well, what is she teaching? Well, in verse 20, she's teaching generosity to those in need. She's teaching generosity. Mom, do your kids see you serving those in need? One of the things I'm so grateful for in our family is how Andrea, my wife, has modeled that for us. Multiple times there would be a neighbor or there would be someone maybe in our house church who's sick or not feeling well, just having a difficult time, and she might make a soup and she might take it over to them. So I'm thankful that for us, our kids have had a mom that shows the importance of, and she's taught by her example, the importance of generosity to those in need. Kindness, right? Kindness is coming out of her mouth. The kindness is on her tongue. Mom, do you expect kindness from your kids? When they're not kind, did you just kind of laugh it away? Oh, he's just having a moment. Or do you actually say, hey, you know what? That wasn't very kind or nice. And God made that person. And we should treat that person with kindness the way that God loves them and treats them. Verses 13 through 27, obviously by her example, she's teaching hard work and loving others before herself. We've already talked about teaching by example, being honest and having the respect and heart of her husband. But something else we don't see right here in chapter 31, but we do see littered throughout Proverbs, is teaching obedience. Is teaching obedience. Mom, do you expect obedience from your kids? In chapter 30, verse 17, it says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother." And in the very first chapter of Proverbs, he says this. He says, "Don't forsake the teaching of your mom," which implies that the mom is teaching. So teaching by her example and by her words. And one of those things is you're teaching obedience. Listen, I remember I was probably 6 or 7, and I remember walking down the hallway of our house in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and walking into our kitchen, and my mom, 5'2", petite little woman, I walk into the kitchen, and she asked me to do something. I don't remember what it was. And I just looked her in the eye and said, no. And I probably didn't do that. But I walked back, like, to my room, like, take that, Mom. Or I thought it was bad. I don't know what I was thinking, right? But I was like, no. Well, I started walking by down the hallway, and this hand, the size of Mount Everest, hit me on the backside. And I knew in that moment that my mom expected obedience. All right? I knew that she expected obedience. Moms, if you're going to expect obedience, that's going to involve discipline. It's going to involve discipline. And I can hear some people like, okay, boomer, right? Discipline. No, it's not a very popular thing right now. I get that. But it's biblical. It's right. It's wise. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't go there right now. We don't have time. But later, read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. God disciplines those he loves because he's a loving father. And he knows that if we step outside of his commands, it's harmful for us and for others. And so he'll discipline us to bring us back inside, right, for our own good. It even says, for our own good, our God disciplines his own. And so, moms, when you're disciplining, you're actually reflecting the character of our Heavenly Father. And so if you're going to expect obedience, it's going to involve discipline. But let me say this too about discipline. Discipline is an incredible opportunity to teach your children the gospel. All right? Sometimes in that moment, sometimes not in that moment. But it is an incredible opportunity to teach your kids why they did what they did. It's because there's sin, this monster of sin inside their hearts. And that's why we say mean things. That's why we do mean things. But God loves us so much that he sent his son to us to set us free from that monster of sin inside us so that we could be forgiven. And he did that by putting his son on a cross who died for us and came back to life. And God wants you to be with him forever so you don't have to be controlled by that monster of sin anymore. You can be controlled by Jesus, your king. Discipline is an opportunity to teach your children the gospel. Listen, the reason your son pushes his siblings or doesn't want to share his toys is not because he's not being nice. Well, he's not being nice. But he's not being nice because his heart is sinful and selfish. Right? He's a little sinner. I remember one of our kids, right, when they were little, we asked them to do something. They didn't do it. We sent them to their room. And I think I've shared this with you guys before, but I think it's appropriate here again. And they didn't like it. They got mad. So bedroom, second floor of our house, opens a window, starts chucking stuffed animals out our window. I could just imagine our neighbors on the other side of the street going, seeing a flying teddy bear and penguin, you know, coming out. They're not doing that because they're releasing energy. They're doing that because this child does not like what mommy and daddy had to say and did not do it. And so we discipline them for it. Mom, help your kids understand they have sin inside them. If you don't, then why would they ever see their need for Jesus? So you have an opportunity, Mom, to teach by your example and by your words, the truths of God through his word. So as we look at all these, right, you know, a godly wise mom is caring about having her husband's heart, trust and respect. She's diligent and disciplined and caring for her family and home, and she's teaching, and you could be sitting here, and I'm sure, right, like feeling absolutely overwhelmed. All right, and this is, right, and you're like, great, this has been the worst Mother's Day of my life. Thank you. But here's the deal. Proverbs 31 isn't meant to make you feel guilty. It's actually, I believe, intended to point you to Jesus. Because this mom ends the conversation with her son with verse 30. Which she says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so I think Proverbs 31 is actually showing us what's possible when a woman fears the Lord, when she's fearing the Lord. And I was thinking about this week, the whole picture of like an iceberg came to my mind. All right, like an iceberg. If you know anything about icebergs, what you see above the surface is only 10% of the iceberg. And so what we've read so far is like only 10%. And so everything that you see above the surface is built and coming up from what's under the surface. And same here in Proverbs 31. I think everything that we've just seen in this godly, wise mom is above the surface, but it's there because of what's built under the surface. And what's under the surface is a mom who fears the Lord. And by that, I mean a mom who is receiving her worth and value from her Lord, from Jesus, which means that God matters most to this mom. What God says matters most to this mom. It's his voice above all others that this mom is listening to. And so what he says about her and to her matters more to her than Instagram, her house church mom, whatever. She's listening to his voice first. And his voice is loudest. Listen, a mom who fears the Lord is a mom whose worth and value is not, hear me on this, is not determined by what her kids think of her. It's not determined by what her husband thinks of her. It's not determined by whether she works full time or stays at home. It's not determined by if she's followed by other moms on Instagram or how many likes on Facebook. Now, a godly wise mom is a mom who is finding her worth in her Jesus and what he has done for her and given her through his sacrifice on the cross. That's a woman who fears the Lord. I think a woman who fears the Lord, I do want you to turn here, is believing Ephesians 1 about herself. Ephesians chapter 1. And mom, if I could just give you one kind of encouragement, I would say just read Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 7 every morning as a reminder of this is who I am in Christ. Kinsey referenced this at the very beginning. Just remind ourselves who we are in Christ. It's so important. And Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ and with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Listen, a mom who's fearing the Lord, listen, when she's changing the worst diaper a human has ever produced, and she is not feeling very materially blessed in that moment, all right? A mom who's fearing the Lord is remembering, okay, I do have some spiritual blessings I can lean on right now. I do have some spiritual blessings I can lean into. Well, what are those? Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen, on those days, mom, when you are no longer chosen by your kids to be the one they want to hang out with, that's probably going to happen when as they get older, right? So in those moments when they're no longer choosing you but choosing their friends, and maybe even in that moment when your husband has no longer chosen you, a mom who's fearing the Lord remembers, wait a second, God has chosen me. The God of the universe has chosen me, and he's chosen me before he even created the universe. It's a mom who fears the Lord. And then keep reading verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless. A mom who's fearing the Lord is knowing she's blessed, because even mom, when you've said those harsh words that you can't take back and you're filled with guilt, you know that Jesus has washed your shame away. That's not how he sees you. You're forgiven and free and sparkling clean, regardless of how you're feeling, because of Jesus and who he is and his blood shed for you. Verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. She's a mom, right, that knows that on those days when you don't feel loved or you don't belong maybe from other moms that you connect with or trying to connect with, you're remembering that you belong to him and that he gave his son on that cross so that you could belong to him, to adopt you into his family. It's a mom who's fearing the Lord. Go down to verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. She's a mom who knows that even though her sin tendencies are going to bubble to the surface, right? She knows this. But she also knows that it's her sin that doesn't control her anymore or define her, because she's believing that Jesus has redeemed her, has set her free, and that Jesus is her Lord, not her sin and not her feelings. And a mom who's fearing the Lord, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. When your sin does show up, mom, a mom who's fearing the Lord is quick to apologize to him and to those who she sinned against. But she's really quick to receive the forgiveness and the riches of grace of Jesus who's pouring into her in that moment. That's a mom who fears the Lord. And then verse 6. A mom who fears the Lord understands this, right? To the praise of his glorious grace. That your greatest purpose, mom, is not being a mom. It's easy to make being a mom an idol, but your greatest purpose is not being a mom. What is it then? To the praise of his glorious grace. Your greatest purpose is not in trying to be a good mom, but in pointing your kids and others to the glorious love of Jesus through your successes, failures, and imperfections as a mom, to point people to Jesus. And a mom who fears the Lord is when those moments of failure, insecurity, worthlessness come, a mom who fears the Lord is not going to lean on her feelings or her kids or her husband or other moms to find her worth. Yes, for encouragement, but that's not where you're going to find your worth. A mom who's fearing the Lord is leaning into the character of God, leaning into what God has to say about her in Ephesians 1, leaning into his promises and receiving the riches of grace that he is pouring into her heart. Listen, a godly, wise mom understands this, all right? That your most important relationship is the one you have with Jesus. Your most important relationship is the one you have with Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come, and as they come, listen, all those traits that we've talked about that are above the surface are there because they're coming. There's something under the surface, a mom who's abiding with Jesus, right? And mom, I'm sure we read Proverbs 31, and you're like, oh, right. But again, the intent of it is not to make you feel that way, but to make you lean to Jesus, lean into him. That's where you're going to find your worth and identity. And so I want to ask you to do something, mom. Would you hold out your hands like you're receiving a gift? Every mom here, just kind of hold out your hands like you're receiving a gift. And I want you to imagine that you're receiving this in your hands, but let it soak into your heart, right? Let it move under the surface. And this truth for you, mom, is going to come from Romans 8, and I want to read this for you. Mom, if God is for you, who can ever be against you? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for you, won't he also give you everything else you need? Who dares accuse you, mom, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given you right standing with himself. Who then will condemn you, mom? No one. For Christ Jesus died for you and was raised to life for you, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, praying for you, mom. Can anything ever separate you from Christ's love? Mom, please be convinced that nothing can ever separate you from God's love. Neither your fears for today, nor your worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate you from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is given to you in Christ Jesus, your Lord, who loves you, mom. Mom, listen, you are love. You're loved. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Would you stand with me? Would you cross the aisles? I want to pray for our moms. And moms, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I'm going to ask our house church pastors and their wives to maybe stand in the back or off to the sides. Maybe you're here and you need prayer this morning. I want to encourage you just to come, and we'd love to pray over you this morning. But mom, right now, I just want you to think about Jesus, and all of us, just turn our attention to him. And right now, if you're here and you know him, then your worth and identity is secure. It was secured for you by Jesus on that cross. And you receive that this morning. God, I pray right now for our moms. God, I pray that you would encourage them, Lord. They carry an incredible burden and weight. And God, I pray that you would just remind them that that is not that their burden to carry. But the most important thing for them as a mom is to spend time knowing you. And so, God, I pray that you would just impress in their hearts and their thoughts right now the importance of just abiding with you, reminding them that nothing will ever separate them from your love. Amen.